Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to you all. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. Delighted to be here with you and grateful that you've chosen to give me a half an hour of your life and time. I promise not to waste your time. So let's just jump right in where we go here. And that is, I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love easily devolve into BS. So when we BS people, we're not loving people. But when we love people, we're being straight up and honest. We're living the royal law of Scripture. And that's what I have on my mind and heart for today. The royal law of Scripture, according to James chapter 2. And woo, let me tell you, James is a no BS writer in the book of James chapter 2, where he's got some exciting news to tell us. And I want to get to that ASAP. Now, in order to get there efficiently and with my mind focused as it ought to be, I like to do a few things. I'll start with the Lord's Prayer in a minute, and then I want to lead you in Love's Creed, a little something I've written for myself, and I have found it to be effective and effectual for others to remind themselves, this is why I'm on the earth, this is why I'm eating and breathing and sleeping, this is why I'm here. I'm here to love and not hate. All right? But before we get to the creed, let's start with the Lord's Prayer, most prayed prayer in human history, full of the wisdom of God, and it's short. Not a big, long, showy prayer. It's a short and dynamic meditation given from the heart and mind of Jesus. So if you know it, join me. If you don't know it, just listen in. It's simple. And if you'd like to get to know it, work on it. It'll work you over in a good way. All right, here we go. Join me in the thoughts and the words of Jesus when he taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There you have it. The most prayed prayer in human history, chocked full with beauty from the heart of God. Now, Love's Creed, it's simple, but it demands of us some kind of regulation of how we live our life. All right? Let me give it to you in total. Then I'll go back and I'll ask you to repeat after me if you're so inclined. All right, here we go. Here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, let me give it to you in short bursts, and you repeat after me if you're so inclined. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I savor that, though I wrote it and I've had it in my possession for over a decade now, but I savor that as it calls me again to a healthy regulation of the way I think and live. If you'd like a copy, you can email me at randydeanministries, all lowercase, all one word, at Gmail, randydeanministries@gmail. Be my pleasure to send you a copy with no bait and switch, no trying to get you into my address bank, just to serve you in the best way I know how. Well, I started by telling you today's topic is going to be about the royal rule of Scripture. These are the words of the author of the book of James when he said, if you will do well when you complete the royal rule of the Scriptures, which is love others as you love yourself. Now, there's more to that, obviously, because I've got a few things to say here for the rest of this time. But when James says this is the royal rule of Scriptures, he's hearkening to the very words of Jesus. When Jesus said, "This by this they will know you have been discipled, trained, taught, you followed me, if you have love for one another. And greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their neighbor, for their friend, even for their enemy," because Jesus said, loving your enemy is on this table. Yeah, that's the royal rule of Scripture. So when I hear people waxing eloquent about being biblical, it says in the Bible, we have to be against this group of people. We have to train our children to be aware of how bad, evil, sick, and wrong certain things are. We've got a culture war. We got to draw our Bible swords and show the world how right we are, how wrong they are, because they're going to hell, we're going to heaven. And of course, I hear that and I hear the echo back in my brain. There's a whole lot of people in our world that look at us and say, you know, if going to heaven means I got to live with you for eternity, sorry, count me out. All right, that's your free part. But I want to talk to you about this royal rule of Scripture that James takes on in this solid way when he says, let's go back early in that chapter, chapter 2 of James, and this is from the Message Bible. You can look it up in other versions if you'd like, but here's what it says in the Message Bible. My dear friends, don't let public opinion influence how you live out our glorious Christ-originated faith. If someone enters your church wearing an expensive suit and a street person wearing rags comes in right after them, and you say to the man in the expensive suit, "Sit here, sir. This is the best seat in the house." And you either ignore the street person or you say, "Better sit over here, back row. Just stay out of the way." Haven't you segregated God's children and proved that you are judges who can't be trusted? Savor that. We can't be trusted if we've shown favoritism to someone who shows up with the costume of power, the costume of riches, the costume and the environment of being important and powerful. This chosen view of, look at me, my expensive suit, and aren't you so impressed that you need to endorse me as your political leader? You need to endorse me as the most important person in this nation's life. But you look at the street person and you say, why don't you go sit in the back? James says that is a direct violation of the royal rule of Scripture. For all of my dear friends who thump their Bible and talk about being biblical, let me remind you, kindly and politely, well, the royal rule of Scripture, the one biblical music note to hit that makes all the other notes make sense, is this: love others as you love yourself. The rest of that little verse right there in James chapter 2, verse, I think it must be 9. If you play up to these so-called important people, you go against the rule of the royal rule of Scripture, and you stand convicted by it. Well, all right, let's dig into that. This royal rule of Scripture is illustrated by James as this nasty habit we all have, and I've done it. I'm here to admit, I've done it. I'm ashamed of that, those moments in my life, but I have outgrown it because I'm determined to live by love's creed, that I'm on this earth not for hate, not on this earth to show some kind of priority to important people in their rich costumes. But since we have had, in the past, especially 20 years or so, we've had this nasty habit of being attracted to riches and power for people that come to our churches, and we make sure they get the front row, we make sure they get the podium, we make sure they get the microphone, we make sure we give them our endorsements, we make sure that they are on our side, or rather we're on their side, and we're making sure that all of that stuff is what we're living by. And James makes it clear, you play that game, and you're playing fast and loose with the royal rule of Scripture. Let me remind you from the Message Bible. He said, my friends, don't let public opinion influence you how you live out this glorious Christ-originated faith. If someone comes to your church wearing an expensive suit, and that's why I'm calling here this costume of power, and a street person walks in rags right after them, you say to the man in the costume of power, come sit here. Here's the best seat in the house, which is to say, we want our church to be seen with your costume of power. But you say to the street person, yeah, you better go back to the back row. Haven't you segregated God's children? Now, here's a statement of purpose from me. Collectively, political power has entered our doors, and we acquiesced. Collectively, I don't mean in a specific one time for all, but collectively, representatively, we have political power has entered our doors in their costumes of power, and we acquiesced. And we made sure that the poor, the meek, the humble, the obvious hungry, poor, rag-covered person steps down so we can make the way for our partisan endorsements, separated from the embarrassment of somebody who is weak or poor or sick, in need. Here's a problem. One of the problems with that, many problems, I should say, but one of the many problems with that is Jesus said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And you see, James takes the very words of Jesus and makes it clear to us that when we have put love on the shelf and we run to the costumes of power, we run to the endorsements, politically speaking, we run out there and say, look at here, this is going to make us look good. And the person in the rags going to make us look bad. As soon as we've done that, we've acknowledged that the royal rule of Scriptures means nothing to us. What means something to us is the sad notion that costumes of power, the endorsements of the big and mighty somebodies, means more to us than the poor. And as soon as that happens, we have collectively, we've looked at Jesus in the poor. We've looked at Jesus and we said, don't have time for that. We have some short-term gains to make here. We got to get some laws passed to make our nation great. We got to make sure that raggedy, smelly person, who, by the way, Mother Teresa said, the poor are Jesus in disguise. We got to make sure that raggedy, smelly Jesus, I mean poor person, is sitting out there in the overflow group, or maybe we have a balcony. Or maybe, and now, that's specifically speaking, but figuratively speaking, we got to make sure that they're not the face of our faith. We want the face of our faith to be powerful. We want the face of our faith to have the nicest suit, the nicest, and suits are kind of not in vogue anymore for Sunday morning, so we just want them to look sharp, have the best haircut, have the greatest makeup, have the best coiffed hair, whatever else we think makes us look good. We got to look good. Get that on our website. Yeah. But maybe our websites, according to James and according to the royal rule of Scripture, maybe our websites ought to be full of those broken, harmed, hungry, meek, mild, and maybe not so meek and mild. Maybe they look a little drunk or a little high on the exterior. Maybe they really haven't bathed in a week or so. Maybe their clothes have been on them for far too many days. Maybe those pictures on our websites and on our descriptions of us are the better descriptor of the royal rule of Scripture, which is Jesus in disguise. There he is in disguise. Excuse me. Had a sneeze there. There he is. There he is, sneezing in the corner of our church, embarrassing us, making racket. Got his greasy-looking paper bag in the corner, rattling around that paper bag, and we need him to quiet down here because we got a rich man up at the front, on the front, maybe in the microphone, who can't be heard because you've been rattling around your greasy paper bag. Now, I'm taking this to the full extent of my imagination, but my imagination here is not ill-informed or mal-informed. My imagination is informed by 50 years of ministry as a pastor. My imagination is formed by watching churches here in the United States of America grappling, running for, grabbing for political endorsements, looking for what makes us look powerful and gives us power, making sure that we get that power in the halls of Congress or in the city halls or in the state halls, wherever they may be. As long as we can get somebody that looks like power at the front of us, we feel as though this is going to fulfill our church mission. So that's why I'm here, and I have been here since the first day of 2019, saying that there's something about the faith that I cherish, and please hear me, I cherish my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm recording this during Holy Week of 2026, and I always intentionally take myself down the path day by day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right up to Good Friday. Slow it down. I don't go rushing for the resurrection on Sunday because I'll get there. We'll get there. But I think it's important to savor, as Jesus said, remember me and remember me in my death when he offered communion. So I savor Jesus. I savor my collective memory of all that Christ has been for me. So that's what you're hearing from me. So my imagination has been well informed as I've participated in and watched from a distance and seen right up front in the first row along with those rich and powerful, seeing how we have collectively welcomed the powerful, welcomed the politically endorsed, and welcomed the endorsement of the politically powerful and rich, so that our church looks something like this empire that we live in. But you see, Jesus taught us to pray for a holy, different, and I do mean holy, H-O-L-Y, different empire. And that is the empire of heaven, that the rule, the dominion of heaven would come. Not the rule and dominion of Rome, not the rule and dominion of Egypt, not the rule and dominion of the United States of America, but the rule and dominion of heaven would come. And that in order for that dominion to be invited, something in us is going to have to be really significantly adjusted, isn't it? And that adjustment is to see those costumes of power for what they are. They are a deception. And even if the person in that costume doesn't mean to deceive, maybe that person is, they're just as innocent as the freshly fallen snow. And that could be. It very well could be. But their costume can be deceptive. Especially if you compare the costume of a $500 suit and tie and polished shoes to somebody straight off the street. Right off the street. And if that costume of power is more attractive and the costume of poverty is offensive to us, we've got some significant adjustments to make, don't we? And James just through the centuries here stomps beautifully, metaphorically speaking, his foot and say, my brothers and sisters, he said, haven't you segregated God's children and proved that you are judges who can't be trusted? Now, there's the mic drop. We've proven we can't be trusted if the costume of power is the attraction as opposed to the reality of the impoverished soul who very well and actually really is Jesus in disguise. In the book of Revelation, the book of the Church of Laodicea, Jesus said, I'm knocking on your door. And of course, that brings very clear to mind, doesn't it? I'm knocking on the door. Why? Because I'm outside and you're not letting me in. I'd like to come in and have a meal with you. I promise you, Jesus will come in to whatever door is open to him, but he is not going to come in wearing some beautiful $1,000 suit, some magnificent coiffed hair, glorious looking makeup. No, that won't be Jesus. Because you see, he is still, Scripture really does declare that he bears the wounds of his crucifixion up to and including now. So the wounded king comes in our door. The wounded royalty of Christ comes in our door. And that wounded royalty standing next to a $1,000 suit, there's quite a contrast there, isn't there? That $1,000 suit is not stained with sacrificial love and blood. That coiffed hair hasn't been messed up by a crown of thorns. And so here we are, the royal rule of Scripture, which is love. And this love demands of us something greater than being the poor, impoverished judges. Like James says, haven't you proven you are judges who can't be trusted? Ooh. It's tight, but it's right, folks. And I'm admitting this as a lifelong pastor. When I've seen those costumes of power walk in my doors, and I knew we had a budget to sustain, and I knew we had people to impress, but I deeply, profoundly regret any shadow of that in me. And I've just run myself headlong toward the royal rule of Scripture, which love your neighbor as you love yourself. Wiggle free of this horrible political obsession, this horrible political endorsement that grabs power like it's the magic ring. It's the magic lantern that we rub, and we're going to get all of our wishes when we have the royal costume on our side instead of the royal rule of love. All right, well, I'm going to have to bring this to a close. My moments are waning. I hope I've giving you something to think about. And if it causes you discomfort, then good. It makes me uncomfortable to say it because I've been it, and I have chosen never to be it on any level that I'm aware of going forward. So join me, would you please, in being aware. Be aware that the biggest mistake we make is thinking we still have time. But folks, we don't have the guarantee of time. It's important for us to be present, to be kind, to love more, and love now. So when that royal costume of power walks in, we look for the royal rule of love and ask ourselves, is that Jesus, or is that just my illicit attraction to power? So, don't make the mistake of thinking you got time. Let's turn this thing around. Mother Teresa said, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Yeah, every people, every one of those people. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. And I'm not Mother Teresa, Lord knows, but I am Bishop Randy, and all I know to tell you is it's time to do something beautiful. And doing something beautiful means that we reach out and we see Jesus in the least of these. And yes, there may be an occasion when somebody in a rich and powerful suit is so broken by life that they weep their way in our doors, then okay, join me. Let's do something beautiful for that person. And the greatest, most beautiful thing we can do is to see Jesus in them and not political power in them. Let's do this every day. What's the most beautiful thing I can do moment by moment? Excuse me. Moment by moment. What's the thing of beauty that would come to my mind? Well, I can think of one beautiful thing, and that is learn how to breathe well. Take a deep breath. So join me in a good, solid, cleansing breath. One, two, three. Inhale. And exhale. Calm yourself. See life in the simplicity of the free gift of breathing. And then I want you to fulfill that royal rule of Scripture. If you really want to be biblical, here's the royal rule. Let's be committed to love alone. And one little practical thing we can all do in being committed to love alone is learning how to say, I love you. It's hard. It's weird. It's startling. But the regulation of being able to say, I love you, it's life-changing. Walking away from people with your back to them, saying, hey, love you, and then off you run is, well, I mean, if that's all you got, okay, that's all you got. But how about try this? With full intention, gain eye contact, slow the three most holy, magical, charmed, beautiful, godlike words in the human language. Slow them down and say, I love you. That rocks the boat, doesn't it? Look at that poor person who may have found themselves unwittingly in our church doors. They smell bad. They look bad. Everything about them is tough. And then imagine, you're looking at Jesus. And say to Jesus, into the eyes of that poor person, I love you. If it's your spouse, your significant other, your children, whoever it is right now, find them. Find them in this week and say, I love you. Let's go explore this royal rule of Scripture, shall we? That's my goal, and that's why I'm here with this podcast, week in and week out, come join me in the Royal Rule of Scripture. Happy trails, y'all, and I love you.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.